Open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 9. Romans is the sixth book in the New Testament, all right? You have the Gospels that tell the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? Then you have the powerful book of Acts, talking about the early church and how that church is spread throughout the world. And then you have this book written by the Apostle Paul, the book of Romans. So find that. We'll get to that in just a minute. At the beginning of this year, we felt like God was kind of, as a church and as individuals, asking us to prioritize a few things, right? For the first 2 months of the year, we really focused and we immersed ourselves in the first area, this area of prayer. And we talked about how God is calling us as a church and as individuals to make prayer a priority. We are a church that prays first. It's who we are. It's what we do. It's what we're about. We pray first. That was the first 2 months, January, February. The second area that God is really leading us as a church, and again, as individuals, to put more attention towards is this area of missions, okay? Spreading the good news of Jesus all over the earth. And that is what our series has actually been titled here, or going towards. It's called To the Ends of the Earth. To the Ends of the Earth. The first week in this series, we looked at some history, and of course, we looked at the Bible to see how God wants us to be a church and a people on mission for Him all the time, telling people who don't know Him about Him. And then last week, we came to the conclusion, Pastor Kyle said this, if anyone has been changed by the gospel, they now have an obligation to share this with people who have never heard the name of Jesus. And one way we talked about last week that we talked a lot about is giving. We can give to missions. So last week, we talked about this idea of how we can be senders, right? Not all of us are going to go all the time and do these things, but every single one of us should give. And you got the ability, if you were here last week, you got a pledge card. If you were not here last week, there are pledge cards on the Welcome Center. Please take that, because this is what we asked. We simply asked you to pray and ask God what He would want you to give. Like, no pressure on our end. But here's the thing. If you pray and say, God, how much do you want me to give to missionaries and missions organizations to spread the good news of Jesus around the world? I would be shocked if He said, no, nothing, don't worry about it. Okay, I believe that God wants every single one of us to be senders in some way. So please grab one of those pledge cards and pray over that and bring it back. If you brought yours back this week, awesome. You can drop in the offering box in the entry. If you didn't bring it back this week, pray about it. Bring it back next week. Otherwise, you can go onto our website, and right on the top bar, there's a little button that says missions. You can click on that, and there's a pledge card right on there for you as well. And here's the thing. The reason we're doing pledge cards is this. As a church, we want to be able to support. Right now, we are supporting 50 missionaries and missions organizations that go all over the world, and we want to be able to support more. Every single week, we have missionaries asking us to help them go. And we're like, well, we're not sure right now because we don't know who's giving what. So when you write down a pledge, that gives us a number that we can actually commit to. Does that make sense? That's the only reason. We're not going to like call you and be like, hey, you said and you haven't. Okay, that's not what this is. This is simply so that we know what we can commit to giving so that we can help people go. All right, so that was last week. And this week, we're going to continue with this theme of missions. We're going to look at a key component to us becoming a person that feels the urgency, the drive to share the gospel with those who have not heard. And we're going to start by looking in the best place to start, which is the Bible. So would you please stand with me out of respect for God's word? We're going to read Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. These are some powerful words from the Apostle Paul. Here's what he says. He says, with Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. Listen to this. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and an unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. Yikes, this is powerful stuff. So we're going to pray and we're going to talk about this. God, what we are going to talk about today, it can be tough. It's going to challenge our thinking. It's going to bring up some uncomfortable thoughts for sure. Help us to be open and not discount ourselves from anything that you might be speaking to us this morning. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. Well, this last week, I got the privilege to speak to and pray for the National Guard company that was shipped out of Sauk Center. It was so cool. I pulled up to the armory, and as I was driving down Sinclair Lewis Avenue, there was cars everywhere. And I just had somebody call me and say, hey, could you come and say a few words and pray for us? I was like, yeah, sure. And I'm like driving up, and there was like 300, 400 people there. I was like, whoa, this is legit. But it was so cool because I got to pray for them, and I got to thank them for their service. And I highlighted this idea of sacrifice, the sacrifice that they're making. Not only were they going overseas to sacrifice for their family back home, right, to protect their family, but they were also going to Kuwait to sacrifice and to serve those people over there, people that they didn't even know. Most of us, I think, would give our lives for someone that we love, right? I would die for my wife, for my kids, and for many of you, most of you, right? Okay, for real. But not many of us would sacrifice or die for a stranger, someone we don't know, someone we don't love. And that's exactly the point I want to make today. If you love someone, you'd sacrifice for them. You'd die for them. You'd do whatever it took to save them from suffering or from death, right? Or in our case today, we would do all of those things to keep them from spending eternity in a place completely separated or cut off from Christ, as Paul says it in these verses that we just read ago, a bit ago. And this is where the problem comes in, right? This is the problem and the solution, and we're going to talk about this today. Catch this, okay? Jesus wants all people to know him and to be saved, right? Are we on the same page there? Nod your head if you're like, yeah, that's obvious, okay? He wants all people to be saved, and we are willing to do whatever it takes for those that we love to hear about him, but we aren't usually willing to do that for the lost people that we don't know. So what's the solution? We just pull up our big girl pants and we sacrifice anyway? Nah, I don't think that really works, right? Maybe for a short time, but the solution that we see in the Bible is that we need to have a heart for all that are lost. This is the main idea, the bottom line for today. I want you to get this. We need to have a heart for all that are lost. God tells us in his word that his heart is that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. And now my question is, if that's God's heart, don't you think he wants us to feel that too? Right? Like if God says, I want everybody to come to repentance, we need to have a heart for all that are lost as well. Look again at what Paul says here. These are crazy, crazy strong words. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief. I would be willing to be forever cursed and cut off from Christ if they would be saved. Do you understand what he's saying here? Like, do you really catch that? You're like, oh yeah, he really loves his people and he really wants... No. He is saying, I'd be willing to die and go to hell if the people that I am talking about could take my place and go to heaven. I mean, this is so much more than I would forfeit my life so that they would go to heaven. I could see dying for someone to go to heaven, right? But this is like borderline crazy. He's saying I'd spend the rest of eternity where they would go, like eternal suffering away from Jesus if they could take my place in heaven. I'm not sure I'm there yet. I mean, obviously God still has some work to do in me. Would I die for people to go to heaven? I think I honestly would. Probably, right? I think. I've never been in that position, but I think I would. But would I offer my eternal damnation for some stranger to go to heaven, someone I don't even know to go to heaven? I'm not even sure if I'd do that for someone I'd love, to be honest, right? Like, oh, I don't know. I don't think I would. And maybe you're thinking, well, this verse isn't talking about strangers. He's talking about his Jewish brothers and sisters. Okay, I get it. First off, though, he doesn't know all the Jewish people in the world. There are Jewish people that are strangers to him. And second of all, he's still offering to go to hell for them. So don't be splitting hairs with me on this, all right? This is crazy. This is crazy what he is saying. John Bunyan, if you've heard of him, he's a preacher and a writer of one of the most prolific works of religious literature, The Pilgrim's Progress. Maybe you've heard of that book. He said this. He said that he often felt while preaching that he would give his own salvation for the salvation of his hearers. He's saying the same thing that Paul says. But Bunyan takes it even a step further. Listen to this. He says, "And I pity the man who has not felt the same." I've got some room to grow. I don't know that I'm sitting up here right now going, "God, I will go to hell for all of these people in this room right now if you promise they'll go to heaven." Like, I got some room to grow. Maybe you do too. So, how do we develop this heart that is filled with a bitter sorrow and unending grief for people that don't know Jesus? How do we do this? Well, the first thing, the main thing, you pray. You pray for God to break your heart. Pray for God to break your heart. And this is one of the dangerous prayers that we've been talking about in our life groups. If you're on track with all of us, we just did this last week, right? Break my heart. Break my heart. And in this prayer, we talk about how God breaks our heart for injustices in the world, like world hunger, lack of health care, human trafficking, clean drinking water for undeveloped countries, you know, orphans, and so many more things. And in turn, like those break God's heart, and in turn, he's going to break our hearts for maybe one or two of those things, right, so that we can do something about it. So in this aspect, we may have different things that break our hearts, right? What breaks your heart might not break mine in the same way. But when it comes to lost people, God wants every one of our hearts to be broken for them. He wants each of us to be broken for anyone who doesn't know him. We should be praying, "Break my heart, God. Break my heart for the lost people." I often pray for a heart of compassion. If you know me, you maybe know that compassion isn't my strongest suit naturally. There's times where I'm just like, people are so dumb, okay? Like, I have that thought all the time. You can ask my kids, because sometimes it comes out when I'm dropping my kids off at the elementary school and there's other parents. Somebody's like, "I know that feeling," right? Like, I struggle with compassion sometimes. So I pray this prayer. And I do it in different seasons of my life because this is what we read about Jesus having, a heart of compassion. Multiple times in the life of Jesus, we read that he had compassion on the crowds. Matthew 9:36 says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." Matthew 14:14 says, "When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick." Matthew 15:32, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat." And I've prayed this, like I said, a bunch of times in my life because my compassion, it fades. It fades at times. And when I pray for compassion again, it is amazing how my heart changes. And it may sound like existential and super out there to just say, if you pray, God will change your mind, he will change your thoughts and your feelings for people that don't know him. But I'm telling you, it works. It works. God will change your heart. God, give me compassion for people. 6 words, 9 syllables, 28 letters, 1 life-changing prayer if you pray it. Do it. Do it. Pray for a heart of compassion. And when you do that, God will transfer his desires for his lost people to you. And then it will compel you to do something. Whew, and this is where it gets complicated. Right? Okay, I love people. I have compassion for people. But compassion isn't just a feeling. Compassion compels you to move. So, This is where it gets complicated. There's a lot of different things that you can do. But I really do think that it boils down to two main areas. And Pastor Kyle mentioned these last week. Number one, you can give. And number two, you can go. All right, we can give, we can send people, or we can go. And he talked pretty extensively on giving last week, and we each hopefully made a giving pledge to missions or are going to do that, like we talked about earlier. But I believe that we should be doing both of these things, right? Giving and going. Here's even more, though. I believe that the going option is even more imperative than the giving option. Let me tell you why. I'm going to start with going to people in our own vicinity, our own area, our own cities, state, country even, because this is huge. This is so important. We all have to be doing this. Did you know, check this out, this is going to be interesting to you, I think. Did you know that starting new churches in America is the number one way to reach people for Jesus here in the U.S.? 70% of people that go to a new church were previously completely unchurched. Okay, so let that sink in for a second. Basically, if we plant a new church in a community around here, Holding Ford, Albany, Osakis, something like that, 70% of the people that go to that church will be people that did not go to church anywhere else previously. If that church grows to 100 people, that means 70 people who were not going to church are regularly hearing the word of God and moving forward in their relationship with him. 70 out of 100, that's huge. And then add this to it, 300% more people get saved at new churches than established churches. 300% more people. Do you know why? Here's why. Because we are going to them. We are going to them. We cannot expect people from Osakis or Albany or Browerville or wherever to drive to us. Now, some of you do that, and I understand that you guys are like super rock stars, but this is not, we can't just wait for that to happen. The Great Commission does not say, wait for them to come to you so that you can make disciples of them. No, that's not what Matthew 28 says. It says, go and make disciples. Sometimes people come, but it's 300% more effective to go to them. And did you know that the number one reason people go to church is a personal invitation? Number one reason people go to church is a personal invitation. 2% of people come because of advertising. 6% of people because a pastor invited them. 6% of people because they attend an event. And if you're doing the math, that leaves 86% of people that come to church because they are invited. And 71% of unchurched people say that they would come if they were invited by a friend or a relative. 71% of people who don't go to church say that they would come if they were invited. But guess how many Christians are inviting people to church? 2%. 2%. Now, I think we're probably better than 2% at this church, okay? I'm just going to give you props. But I still don't think it's good enough, right? 2% of us are going out when 71% would come. The more places we put churches and the more we invite, the more lost people come to know Jesus. And we're going to talk more about sharing our faith in the local area next week. You guys got to get here next week. Pastor Karsten, our children's pastor, is preaching, and it's always a treat when he preaches because you don't know what's going to happen, right? But for now, I want you to see that just like how the more of us that go to our local friends and family, the more effective we will be. Also, likewise, the more of us that go to the ends of the earth, the more people we are going to reach for Jesus too. And you might be thinking, well, aren't we already sending a lot of missionaries? I mean, we see them every third Sunday. Our church alone supports about 50 of them. There are thousands of churches. There's got to be all sorts of missionaries out there, right? Yes, you are right. there are missionaries out there, and there are a lot, actually. We have, there's about 400,000 Christian missionaries that are going to spread the gospel to the end of the earth. 400,000. That's pretty amazing. But even with that many people out there, there is still 42% of the world that has no access to the good news of Jesus Christ. No access means they don't have the Bible in their language, no churches in their area, and few to no Christians that can even tell them about who Jesus is. So here's the disconnect, all right? Out of 400,000 missionaries that are out there, only 3% of those are going to these unreached people groups. 3% of missionaries are going to the 42% of the world that have not heard. That's only 12,000 missionaries that are going to the 42%. And 12,000 sounds like a lot, right? Not when you realize there's 3 billion people that haven't heard. 12,000 missionaries for 3 billion people, that's one missionary for every 250,000 people who have not heard. I don't know about you, but there's no way that I can talk to 250,000 people and convey the message of Jesus. This is not enough. We are barely putting a dent in this massive number, and we're not going to get any better if more Christians don't go. And it has to be blaringly obvious to you right now, and that more people need to go to the ends of the earth. More Christians need to go. And I hope you see this, but the question is, where do these Christians come from? Where do these people go? Where do these people come from? Like, what mega church is sending all these missionaries out? Where are these super Christians that are going? God has to be speaking to someone somewhere, right? I think you guys know where I'm going with this, don't you? It's us. We are the ends of the earth goers. And I'm about to say something that's going to shock you. It's way more of us than you think. I know, there are so many Christians that should be going to the ends of the earth that for some reason or another, I know this, they're not going for some reason. And just a few weeks ago, I'm excited to share this with you, I had this crazy God moment where I believe he showed me why so many Christians don't go, because it's the reason I haven't gone. While on a walk on Wednesday, March 3rd at 12:30 p.m., God spoke to me so clearly, like one of the clearest things that I've ever had him say to me. And he showed me some things that I've never put together before from Scripture. And I believe that it will change things for us if we let it, because it did me. It messed me up. I love when God does that, sort of, right? So get ready. I want to quickly show you two things that God spoke to me that just might change how we think about going to the ends of the earth. Number one is this. We misunderstand what a missionary is and does. Okay? I have talked to so many people. In fact, I had lunch with somebody just last Sunday afternoon, and they tell me they can never be a missionary because they're too shy or they can't speak in front of groups of people. Listen, a missionary is not just someone who walks into a bush village of Africa and preaches Jesus at people, okay? Now, sometimes it is, but there are countless things missionaries do to share Jesus with people. Being a missionary doesn't mean what you think it does. It's taking whatever skills that you have and using them to create relationships and avenues to share the gospel. It's doctors going to Burundi because of over 70% of their country lives below the poverty line and can't afford health care. It's teachers going to teach English in Ethiopia to Somali Muslims because they want to learn this world language to be successful. I just talked to a missionary who's doing exactly that. It's construction workers building churches and hospitals in India because they are in need of skilled contractors to build quality buildings for their ever-increasing population. It's coffee drinkers starting a coffee shop in China because all around the world, people drink that garbage. Right? Coffee's like this international, like, I don't know. But for real, it's doing all these things to give yourself an opportunity to share Jesus with people you come in contact with. Whatever you can do here to create relationships and reach people for Jesus, you can do over there also. And I need you to understand this, okay? You don't have to be a great speaker. You don't have to be extremely extroverted. You don't have to be a Bible genius. Every single one of us has something that God can use, that we can use to go to the ends of the earth. Yeah, but I'm too old. I'm too young. I don't speak well. I have stage fright. I'm introverted. I'm shy. I don't know how. And my least favorite excuse, I already did my part. You're not too old. You're not too young, you're not too stuttery, you're not too, you fill in the blank. You're not. If you are willing to go to the ends of the earth, God will use, he'll use you wherever you are at in life with whatever skills you have. So number one, we need to have a better understanding of what a missionary is and does. And number two, and I think this is going to be the one that really makes you go, wow, I never thought about it like that before, because when I talked to Pastor Kyle about this, when I told him what God spoke to me, that's exactly what he said. He's like, whoa, I never thought of that before. I think you're onto something here. And because I also think this is going to be a big deal, because this is the one that completely messed me up, flipped my thinking upside down. Number two, we over-spiritualize the call of God. We over-spiritualize the call of God. The call of God, right? That moment where God says to you, sell everything, uproot your kids from their school, quit your job and go somewhere you've never even heard of. Okay, first of all, that's not how it works, okay? You don't have to sell everything. You don't have to become poor and have nothing. You still get paid as a missionary, all right? Many missionaries I know still have their house here in the U.S., many times you go with a team of people, so stop being so dramatic, okay, first of all. And if you have a question about this process, like seriously, I would love to talk to you about it. I've had this conversation with four people in the last 2 weeks. But as for the call of God itself, we think it's always this moment, right, where God says, I'm calling you to go to China. I'm calling you. Go there now. It's in a dream, or it's in a prayer time, or it's so clear and it's so obvious, and oh, what a powerful moment I had where I feel God's presence overtake me, and his voice is so clear, right? And sometimes it is like that. In fact, I would say a vast majority of missionaries I know, that's how they would describe their calling. But I think that's exactly why so few people are going. I think the number of missionaries that went to the ends of the earth would increase exponentially if we understood what I'm about to share with you. Do you remember a few weeks ago I preached this message on dangerous prayers, and the prayer was, send me? Remember that? I think we missed something. I think I missed something. Because what happened to me on my walk a few Wednesdays ago, I was listening to a sermon from David Lindell, from James River Church in Missouri, and he spoke the same exact message as me. I'm like, dude, you stole my message that I stole from Craig Rochelle. Okay, so probably more likely you heard it from Craig Rochelle, and yeah, okay, let's go with that. But he spoke this same message, like word for word, except for one small thing. And he didn't spend much time on it all, literally 45 seconds, I would guess. But he mentioned something in passing that just hit me. You ever have that? That's awesome. I love when that happens. So good. So let me remind you really quick of Isaiah's story. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah has this vision of God, right? God's in his throne room where he resides in heaven, and he sees God in this crazy supernatural way, and it moves Isaiah. And in this vision, God asks the question, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And I need you to notice two things in this, okay? Two things here. Number one, God did not tell Isaiah to go. You see this? He doesn't say, Isaiah, I want you to be a messenger to my people. No. He asks, who will go for me? Isaiah actually has to say, here I am, I'll go. Like, hey, right here, pick me. I'll do it, I'll go for you. Pick me. Like, this is what is happening here. Isaiah volunteers because he is willing. Now, taking this a bit further, this question was not just for Isaiah. Isaiah's vision was a glimpse into what was going on in God's throne room, almost like a reality show that was following God along, you know, like keeping up with the Kardashians-esque, right? Like, what's going on in the life of God now? And Isaiah happens to tune in when God is saying to the whole world, who will go for us? Whom should I send? Who will go? He's not talking to Isaiah. He's talking to everyone. This is a generic question to all of humanity. So if God isn't just talking to Isaiah, but to all of us, and if he isn't telling anyone to go in this instance, but asking who will go, does that mean that God's calling might be a bit more all-inclusive than just telling specific people to go? I mean, what if, like we see in Isaiah's vision, God is still, right now, sitting in his throne room, asking the question, who will go? Who will go? I think that's a pretty good bet that God is still doing that. I think you would agree. And what if we don't have to be specifically called to go to a certain place? What if God is saying to us, there is something that needs to be done? These lost people need to hear, I just need someone who's willing to do this for me. Who's willing to go? Music team, you can start making your way to the stage. Now, this makes so much more sense to me, the call of God. And this is the example we have here in the Bible. Right now, this is things we say. We say like, oh, God hasn't told me to go, so I'm not going to go. When maybe we should be saying, God hasn't told me to stay, so I should be going. My wife and kids might not be super excited, but I've been praying this prayer this last week. God, I'm willing to go, so you better tell me to stay or I'm out of here. That's my prayer. Because why? Because I'm willing. And maybe you need to be praying this too. God, I'm willing to go. In fact, I'm going unless you stop me. And if you pray this and God tells you that you're not supposed to go, great. Seriously, that is great, because that means he has something here for you to do to bring people closer to Jesus. But if he does say, don't go, here's what I need you to do. I need you to check your feelings. You got to make sure it's because God has really called you to do something here, not because you're scared to go. Not, I don't want to learn a new language, or I don't like Chinese food, or I don't want to move away from my parents or kids, or I don't know how to do this, because I'm just going to be completely honest with you and a little bit harsh. Those things don't matter compared to the billions of people around the world that are dying and going to hell because they've never heard. Your comfort means nothing compared to that. You could be the one. You could be the one to tell these people. You could be the reason that they get to go be with Jesus forever. I'm not saying all of this to make you feel guilty. I'm not saying this to just completely mess up your life and to get your parents mad at you because you're going to take the grandkids away. That's not why I'm doing this. I truly believe that there are so many of us that are missing the most fulfilling, purposeful, exciting, rewarding thing that we could ever do in this short thing that we call life. Would you please stand with me? If we truly understood God's heart for people that don't know him, how could we not be compelled to go? It all comes back to this. Do you have a heart for the lost? If you do, God is surely going to call you to give, and he is absolutely going to call you to go. The question now that you have to wrestle with is this in my own backyard or to the ends of the earth? And if it is to the ends of the earth, and if you're willing to go, are you willing to go to the ends of the earth? And if so, is God telling you to stay here because he has something for you to do? Or is he okay with you going? This is a complete, complete mindset shift. It messed me up. I do it all the time. I've even prayed, God, send me, God, send me, God, send me. I want to get out of this country. I want to go tell people who really want to hear about Jesus, send me. And I've never heard God say, go. But when I heard this, I was like, I'm willing to go. God, you better stop me. Maybe it's 2 weeks ago now in my life group that I'm a part of. I just simply asked the question. I said, all right, we're going to take a poll. How many of you are willing to go if God calls you to go? And I had three ladies in the room raise their hands, and their husbands were like, it was awesome. It was so good. I was like, sorry, guys. But I said, hey, here, check this out. This is not normal. For someone to raise your hand, to say, I'm willing to go, that's not just a normal feeling we have. So even being willing to go, I believe, is part of God putting his desire inside of you to go. If you're willing to do it, man, it'd be pretty tough for me to say God's not calling you. Because most people, you ask them, are you willing to go? No way, no way. But if you are willing to go, you're like, you know what? I could do this. It might be uncomfortable. I might not have a whole lot of fun with it at first, but I'm willing to go, Jesus, if you want me to. If you think I can be of help, I will go reach those 3 billion people around the world that don't know you. I'm willing. I believe that's God working inside of you. I truly do. God, we know you want us to do something. We know that every one of us has the same mission to reach people that don't know you. Give us a heart for these people and show us what we can do. You've asked us to go to our own people, right in our backyards, here in Sauk Center, Melrose, Long Prairie, Freeport, Albany, Osakis, Browerville, like God, Belgrade, all these places. You've asked us to go there. God, show us what that looks like. How do we do that? You've also asked us to go to the ends of the earth. It's this wide open thing where you're saying, who will go? Anybody. Like, are you willing to go? If you're willing, I can use you. Help us to hear from you about this. And if you don't tell us to say, give us the courage to go wherever we can help people who haven't heard about you. Now, one last thing before we go. I want to make sure everyone has the opportunity to make the decision to start following Jesus today. This morning, we've been talking about people that are lost, people that don't know Jesus. And maybe you know that you're not right with God. And you want to start living for him starting now, today. Here's the question. And I like every person here, just bow your head, close your eyes for a time of privacy, for a time of reflection. If you have never asked Jesus to forgive you, and you've never made him the Lord of your life, and you want to do that today, here's what I'd like you to do, because I want to pray for you. Would you please just simply raise your hand and say, I've never made this decision. I want to do it today. If you're online, there's a button you can click. Please respond as well. We want to know, and we want to be able to follow up with you as well. Is there anybody in here right now that says, that's me. I've never done this. I need to make this decision right here, right now. Pray this with me. Let's all pray this together. God, I thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me. Jesus, I believe that you are my Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. Help me to live for you. Amen. Amen. Let's celebrate that together. That's awesome. So good. Well, before you go, if you are praying this week, you know, praying this, God, give me a heart of compassion. God, I'll go if you want me to. And you feel like you may have the desire to go in a different way than you've ever felt before, please get a hold of me right away. Send me a message, call the church office, something. I want to hear about it. I want to talk with you about this, talk you through it, help you figure out what does this mean. Also, if you made the decision to start following Jesus today, I want to hear about that too, because I want to be able to pray with you and follow up with you. So if you made that decision before you leave, please come and find me. I'll be either up here. I'm all over the place. Just come find me before you go, all right? And lastly, if you'd like to continue to meet with God, you don't have to rush out of here. You can stay right in your seat and pray. You can come up to the altar if you would like and just worship. Otherwise, have a great week. Thank you for being here.